When Naomi shared that poem in Minneapolis at a reading, someone said, "When did your son learn how to be a poet?" And she responded, "He didn't learn. My question to you is, when did you stop?" So it is the third Sunday in May, and if the last 8 years have been a precedent, in a few minutes there will be a long line of motorcycles followed by sirens out front. We'll see if that happens again, and we will just pause in our sacred space to wait for that distraction to pass, okay? So this sermon on the theme of sacred space and distraction began for me not with those motorcycles or when one of your cell phones happens to go off ever so rarely during worship, but instead on, I think it was 3 Friday nights ago, in the cafeteria of Placentino Elementary School in Holliston. Now, was I there to learn about the pedagogy of the second grade class that my daughter is participating in? Was I there to meet her teacher for next year? Not quite. I was there in my jeans, in my red bandana tied around my neck, and my black suede vest, and my flannel shirt tucked in. I don't always wear this outfit. And my daughter's hand was in mine, and she was in her jeans and her cowboy boots, and the two of us gathered in a huge circle of about 150 fathers and daughters for the annual Dudes and Daughters Girl Scout Square Dance. Howdy, partner. Howdy, Connor. 2 steps back. Step to your left. 3 steps forward. Hold hands, turn to your right, turn to your left. I never knew a dance could have so much math and geometry, I must tell you. It was exhausting. It was 2 hours long. And it was wonderful. My daughter's face was pink and flushed and smiling and beaming. And about a quarter of the way through the evening, the guy leading things knew that the dads needed a break. He could sort of sense it in the room. So he invited all of the girls up front to the foot of the stage, 50 girls in cowboy hats and jean jackets and denim skirts and boots. And I'm thinking, where have I gone? I have gone to Texas. And the caller gives them a few instructions, and he puts the girls in 3 rows, and then he cues the music. And what followed was truly amazing. Twirls and slides to the left, and hands up in the air, and hands on the hips, and slides to the right, and more twirls. And they were all moving in perfect synchronized cuteness. Now, up close and in the fray of daily life, it is easy to miss just how beautiful the people we love in the world can be. But sometimes, you know, if we see them from a distance, if we see them from afar, from the cafeteria, we can be stunned. Forget the stage photos of the people you love. Forget those days when you wake up in the morning, you say, you commit, I'm going to love my family no matter what, and it never seems to work out that way. But these are the moments when we watch our daughters dancing, or we stand in the bedroom window and watch our partner watering the roses in the backyard, or we see a friend and how she tilts her head back in laughter at something we've said. These are the moments when we remember how gorgeous life can be. The religious types like me have a word for that. It's called a sacred moment. So back to the cafeteria. Now, it may surprise you to learn that I'm not always Mr. Live in the Moment. I'm not Reverend Doctor Pay Attention, Isn't Life Just Beautiful, blah, blah, blah. I'm actually far from that person most of the time. But just that night, just in that moment, watching Ella from across the room, that cafeteria transformed into a sanctuary. The hymns and the sermon and the silence and the prayers all wrapped up into one holy moment for me. And I was wondering and hoping that I was not the only dad, the only dude to notice. So I looked up around me, and what did I see? But an ocean of dad faces, all tilted down, their faces illumined by bluish light, their eyes gazing not at their daughters, but on the screens on their phones. Over there, a guy whips out his iPad from the backpack that he brought. Over here, a guy taps out a message with his thumbs. Behind me, a phone rings and is unholstered, quick as Jesse James. Unless you think I'm any better, that I'm judging these guys, I notice in me, for all my presence and antsiness, my trigger finger on the phone in my pocket, maybe I have time just to check an email. Maybe I have time to just, you know, check in. I won't miss much. But before I succumb, the music stops, and the dance stops, and the daughters run back to us. Dad, she says to me, did you see me? Did you watch me? You didn't go on your phone, did you? You know, we laugh, but beneath our laugh, there is a sigh, I think, of sadness. This is not a sermon about technology. This is not a sermon about me fire and brimstoning Steve Jobs and what he's done to us. Instead, what I'm wondering this morning on this beautiful morning are the sacred spaces that you and I have in our life, and I'm wondering about the distractions we have in our life, and how it seems to me, at least, and maybe to you, that the distractions are winning, aren't they? So first, let us think about sacred spaces together in these few minutes we have. Where are they? What are they? Let us count the ways. It is good to name the places. Lake Winthrop at first light out on that boat. Farm Pond at dusk. Wachusett Mountain lookout point. Rocky Narrows here in Sherburne. The Tree Cathedral in Northampton, England. Montauk River in southern Missouri. The shade from the evergreen tree at noon. Forest Street in autumn. These are mine. You have yours. Nature is sacred. The white building on the hill. Thin cushions on centuries-old pews. Clear windows. The floor of the sanctuary that if you go down beneath it and look into the basement, you will see tree trunks holding up the floor that we sit on. You can feel the knot of the woods with your hand. You can touch the bark. Music Sundays, sermons, prayers, choir, silence, laughter, clapping, tears. This church, this sanctuary, for all the people who say, forget religion, this place is sacred. This June in Phoenix, Arizona, it will be hot, but it will be sacred. Unitarian Universalists from all over the country will gather there, including myself and Pat Manley and Gage Heath and Kate Landis. We will go and we will join our brothers and sisters in faith. We will set aside denominational activities and all the business, and we will talk together about immigration and justice. Carved out of the heated rhetoric, never mind that it's a dry heat, carved out from the debate, carved out from all the complexity of that huge issue, we will draw a circle and we will enter into that circle and a sacred space will be made. We will ask as people of faith, how do we treat our neighbors? What does it mean to honor the worth and dignity of another person? What does it mean to offer a sanctuary to a child who is following her mom across the border because she wants to be with a parent? What does it mean to welcome babies grown into adults who have no papers and no home anywhere? All those places where our faith is put into action is a sacred space. And you know, time with people is maybe the most sacred of all. The Friday evening dances and the cafeterias of your life, the sideline we stand on watching our child's umpteenth game, the afternoon spent planting hydrangeas with our spouse, the hour you spend in the doctor's office with someone you love who is worried about a test result, the 20-minute lunch you make, you carve out time for, to sit with a friend who needs your company, the late-night family movies in the living room, the monthly visit to the cherished graveside of a loved one, the 10-minute bedtime story you really don't have time or energy for. Time with people we love and who love us is sacred. Now, it all sounds so lovely and nice, and you're thinking, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do these things. But then why don't we? So now it's time for us to think of the distractions. And to name only a few, for those not yet retired, and even for those who are, the expectation that every email you get needs to be answered not tonight, not tomorrow, but right now. The commute that saps every ounce of your strength. The workday that now, with the ease of technology, never really ends. We are never really off. And for those caring for aging parents or for those with aging bodies in this room, the distracting worry over what comes next. We stand in the mirror and we ask, will I ever be healthy again? Will mom ever be able to take care of herself? Will dad ever come home? Anxiety over the future, anxiety that crowds out all other thoughts, anxiety that desecrates the sacred space that we long for. And for those in this room with children, oh, the schedules, the errands, the Sunday morning birthday parties, because that's the only time we have left to schedule that party. They're not doing anything except church. The Saturday morning and Sunday morning lacrosse games, and soccer and baseball and the play dates and the tumbling classes and the drum lessons and the art classes. Wait, parents ask, what about me? And for all of us, regardless of your demographic, the beautiful, the gorgeous, seductive screens everywhere. Facebook, put your face in a book, said a billboard I read recently. The overwhelming cycle of news that wearies us so much that we find it hard to even know where to begin. The distraction of having so many choices, we can't even go to buy tomatoes without standing there for 5 minutes wondering what we will buy. So much to do. The distraction, even if you don't have enough to do, that something is wrong with you. My friends, how do we live in this world when we long for sacred space and the world comes at us from every direction? At a recent gathering of our covenant group facilitators in our church, we asked ourselves this question for our worship theme this month, And in response, I shared with them an exercise developed 200 years ago by William Ellery Channing, who's the founder of American Unitarianism. He believed that meditative self-examination could be a central practice of our faith. You're thinking, what does he know about our time? And he doesn't know a lot, but he did know a thing or two about being religious in a world that overwhelms us. So with this exercise, we close. 200 years ago, he said, "Make yourselves comfortable in your seat. Take several deep breaths. And my friends, in your mind's eye, take a detailed inventory of your day so far. It is 11:32. And think of the day you have ahead of you.